Hey, Jeff, it's Ariel. Hello? Jeff, can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Okay, cool. So you're good?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so I'm just recording this for transcription purposes, for Versus.com. And, you know, the first question I wanted to ask was, I know your last fight was a very big deal for you, given, you know, where it took place, your debut at 135 in WEC, all those factors. If you could just share with me the disappointment involved and how things turned out for you on that night.
Yeah, I mean, it was a disappointment. More being on the local level, I guess, may added to it, but, you know, it was just a disappointment for me because it wasn't how I saw my entrance into that division going, you know. When you go and being ranked in the featherweight and then you go down to bantamweight, you don't have, you know, I had nothing but positive thinking going into it. And I was kind of let down. I let myself down and just got a little sidetracked for a few weeks afterwards. But then after that, it just kind of changed my mental focus.
Did it take you a while to get back into the gym and to, like, sort of, you know, get back on track, so to speak?
No, not at all. Like, I had a pretty dramatic change in administrative stuff around my school that same day after my fight, where I had to let a few staff members go, and one of my black belts moved out of town. So I, like, immediately had to hit the floor with, like, eight hours a day of teaching. So I really couldn't sit around and be sad about my fight. I had to just start teaching and training with the students, and I had a tournament coming up. I had to get everybody ready for it. So I tried to just bounce out of it.
And what about the move to 135? Like, when you look back afterwards, I mean, are you happy in that weight class? Did your body feel comfortable there?
Yeah, I felt totally comfortable. The thing is, like, I never really had to cut that much weight. I was coming, like, right now I'm way lighter than I was last time getting ready to fight, at the same time frame. Just because now that I'm down in weight, it's easier. But that was my first time really coming down after just walking around a little heavier before that, coming off of a hand injury and stuff. And I made the mistake of eating, like, way too much protein. I ate so much meat the night before, and my boxing coach was like, you know, you got to get some carbs. And I wasn't listening. I was just so hungry for meat. And I went to a Brazilian buffet and had, like, I must have had, like, 10 pounds of beef. And the next day in a fight, I just felt sluggish. Like, my legs felt slow. My conditioning was fine. And in between rounds, my coach, you know, hey, you look slow out there. What's wrong? I said, my legs aren't moving. So it was, in that sense, maybe I didn't do the right thing after being that hungry after the weight cut, and now I kind of got my head straight as to what I'm going to do differently and make sure that doesn't happen again.
The final question on that fight, is there something that you can pinpoint in the fight against Benavidez? You mentioned now your legs and feeling sluggish, but in terms of, like, your actual fighting, that you said, okay, you know, I shouldn't have done this, or I wish I didn't do that, something like that?
Yeah, I think I tried to fight him with too much. There was a lot of hype going on around, you know, even around my gym and around through friends that, you know, I need to be more aggressive and, you know, I need to go out there and fight this kid the same way he's fighting me. And I just started buying into a lot of things on news and forums, and I went out there and got a little wild with him. And I think if I would have been more calculated like I have been, maybe I would have been able to make him miss more and kind of expose him a little bit more. Instead, I got into this this fight fire with fire kind of match, and, you know, he was a step ahead. He's a little bit more aggressive, and he looked a little more dominating at points, even when I wasn't in trouble. So, like, the perception of the fight was he was doing more of the damage. But I think if I would have just technically sat back and not tried to go for the kill every time and just fought him a little more conservatively, I would have been able to set up more takedowns and that kind of stuff.
There was a lot of talk about, like, Torres and the big super fight in Chicago. Was there a chance that you looked past him?
No, I never did. I mean, I'm too experienced to do that. I don't I don't look past it. All I was trying to do is bring some interest to the fight if it potentially happened. I mean, it didn't take any energy on my part to talk a little bit, you know what I'm saying, about the possibility of the fight.
Right, okay. And, you know, this fight is very interesting against Mitsugaki because, like, a lot of people didn't know much about him going into the Torres fight. And then, you know, there are very few guys that actually, you know, their stock elevates after a loss. I think most people would agree that that was the case with him just because, you know, he took him 5 rounds, fought such a spirited fight. He was so emotional afterwards. Were you impressed with what he was able to do to Torres despite losing in the end?
I was really impressed. I mean, there was at times where I thought Mizugaki, and I still kind of have to watch the fight again in a couple months later. There's times where I think Mizugaki had the edge in the fight. I mean, it was a close fight. Mizugaki had his time early on, and somewhere in the middle of the fight, it turned towards Torres' favor. And it's a matter of when did that happen? Did it happen in the beginning part of round three, or did it happen in the end of round three? And I think that's the deciding factor, because the first 2 rounds, I think, went to Mizugaki.
Really? Yeah, I would actually agree with you on that. And, you know, he's a stand-up guy, you know, Muay Thai striker, mm-hmm. whatever. And Torres didn't try to take him down, you know, whether or not that was just him trying to, like, beat him at his own game, whatever. I'm surprised that he didn't try to expose his ground game. Obviously not talking about game plans or whatever, but... I mean, is that obviously something that, you know, it seems as though we know that he doesn't have as good of a game on the ground as feet. Is that something that you're going to try to look to exploit?
Yeah, I mean, if the possibility is there, I mean, I'm not afraid to stand up with him at all. But the higher percentage tells you that I should take him down and fight that way. The difference between me and Miguel is he doesn't have the takedown ability like I do. He doesn't take guys down very often. He pulls guard. And when he tried to do that on Mizugaki, he wasn't having any part of it. He wasn't falling into his little trap, you know. And I think had he had the ability to take him down and have a nice, fast, like, explosive clinch and put him to the floor, he would have been all over him. But you never see Miguel on top in fights. He's always on his back. And when he doesn't get taken down, that's where the fight stays, standing up. I think I can definitely dictate where this fight goes.
This is the first time in your career that you're on a 3-fight losing streak. Were you afraid that, you know, the WC run might come to an end afterwards, or were you sure because of the move, because it was, you know, you're fighting a top contender, that you knew for sure that you'd have another shot to, you know, get back on track?
You know, I did not think that I was going to get this kind of opportunity. I thought maybe prelim. I was worried about being cut, but I think I'm a hard fighter to cut from their roster when I've got more experience than everybody on it. I got 10 more fights than the next person in line. I mean, I'm the most experienced fighter on the WEC's entire roster. And whether or not I've had a few bad runs, they've all been very competitive fights against their number one guys. So it's not like they can really justify, I think, cutting me from it and saying, oh, you know, you're not good enough to be here. Instead, they want to step me up and say, okay, then you're going to have to fight another up-and-comer that we feel is a prospect. And, you know, let the strong survive kind of thing. And that's exactly what I wanted. I don't want to go to the prelims and fight some guy with 5 fights and, you know, I want to fight somebody that has already proven himself that he belongs here and that, you know, we're both fighting for our place.
Yeah, and I'm guessing I mean, if you beat Mitsugaki after the way he lost, a lot of people thought that he could get a rematch right away, despite 3 losses in a row. And if you really look at who you lost to, none of them are bums, you know what I mean? For lack of a better term, you're right back in the mix. So this is just as big as any one of those in many ways, right?
Oh, it's bigger.
Yeah.
This is, I don't know. Of course, whether WEC cuts me or not, if I lose another fight, I'm going to probably cut myself and start fighting on, like, my local show for a while and just get my bearings back. But I'm really just not thinking that way, man. I have a real positive outlook right now. I'm I'm feeling good. I'm covering all the angles. I'm training really hard and just really excited.
Any extra nerves because, as you mentioned, how big this one is?
Actually, no. I thought I would be, but I'm really just trying to... I find myself during quiet times, like late at night, when it's time for bed and it's midnight or wherever, and I'm laying there in the dark, like, that's when my mind starts going crazy with thoughts. I really try to keep myself busy with my business and spending a little bit of time with my family as much as I can, which is very little. And when I can do that, I can keep my mind off to all those what-ifs, you know?
Right. I'm just curious because, I mean, right now in the WC, you know, we know about the sort of outlook in the bantamweight division. We know about the outlook in the, you know, with Aldo fighting Mike Brown. I mean, do you think that this is it for your career, that you will stay at 135, or do you think that maybe you'd like to move up again at some point? Or I don't think you can move down anymore, but maybe to 145 or 55.
I would definitely go back up at fight 145 someday if I felt the need. If weight cutting became an issue, if I felt like the talent pool has been diluted and I don't have anybody else that I really want to challenge myself with, I'd like another shot at Uriah. I mean, he's one guy that I would really like to rematch with someday just because of the type of competitor he was and the way that fight went. I would love to fight him again.
Go ahead.
Nothing, but I mean, that's not like I'm sitting here chomping at the bit for. I think it'd be an awesome fight.
And for your last fight, you trained with ATT. Did you do the same thing for this one?
No. Last time I went to ATT for a week to get away from my business and to train, and you know, it's really hard, even like Master Laborio told me, he's like, you know, you have to train here when you're not getting ready for a fight and you know, be able to take some classes and just kind of a little more laid back, because when you come in to train for a fight, we're doing 1 week of just drill, hard live drills, and there's not a lot of learning going on. You know, it's just toughening up. So I did that to get away, and I needed to see what I was out there a little bit. Mix it up, get away from the stress of the business. And another key for me moving out there for that week was to train with Marcelo Garcia. I really think, you know, he's really good for me to work with because he enjoys jiu-jitsu and he's so good and we get to work together. So I went out there for that. And as far as this fight goes, I'm staying right here in town. I'm doing all the training with my team like normal, and I'm lucky enough to have Marcelo here for 4 days with me, and you know, he just actually got in today, so we got some training scheduled and stuff like that. Just that really just makes me feel like I'm doing a little bit extra, and I'm picking up some things along the way, and spending time training with high level jiu-jitsu guys, because I'm the highest level here at my school. I don't get pushed on that level enough technically. And then I got Hoyler Gracie coming next week to spend the week with me. So we're going to get some good strategy work in too. You know, I'm doing all that, and hopefully little things like that are going to make a big difference.
How do you envision this one playing out?
I mean, if they had it my way, I would take him down right away and take his back and, you know, get after it. But, you know, I'm not even thinking, like a prediction how I see it going, but I definitely see the fight being something that I control. I'm not going to let this one get away from me.
All right. That's a good way to end it. Well, thank you very much, man. Always appreciate the time, and good luck to you in a couple of weeks. It's definitely...
Hey, man, I appreciate it.
Check this out. Right, it'll be on next week on Versus.com.
All right, great.
Take care.
Bye.